We did communion in the middle, and we're going to close up with our message. This is the last message that we are giving in a series that we've called Vibrant Faith. Starting in 2 weeks, we're going to start the pastors of the church are going to start a series that we're going to call The Vibrant Life. And we're going to look at how, by bringing our lives to Christ, He gives to us a rich and abundant life. And we're excited to see where that whole series takes us. Next Sunday, as a reminder, is our Commitment Sunday with Pastor Nate in his first Sunday here. We look forward to seeing you all there as well. Now, if anybody knows anything about me, I'm Pastor Sam Stein, Pastor of Worship and Music here at the church. I reside from Minnesota. Yes, woo! To the natives, very good. It has been our home country for, I'm almost coming up and being a Delaware resident as long as we were a Minnesotan. But when I grew up out in the sticks, way on the western side of the state. We were almost Dakotans where we grew up. And when I grew up in the late 80s to early 90s, television was limited. There was a very limited supply of possibilities on the television. I'm a little jealous of my kids. When they want to kill a few brain cells, they come in, and there are thousands of options with which they can choose from. But when I was growing up, it wasn't too bad. We had 68 channels to choose from. Channel 7 was CBS, and that's where we got the Vikings football games. Channel 10 was public television, and I didn't watch that if I could help it, because the guys like Lawrence Welk were on there and things like that, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. Channel 42 was ABC, which meant every Palm Sunday night, we got to watch Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, and all that thing. That was history. And Channel 42 also, once a year, showed The Wizard of Oz, and my Aunt Alice, who lived down the hill from us, made sure that we all got together and watched The Wizard of Oz once a year on Channel 42. And then we had 65 versions of the Weather Channel. And you have to understand that in Minnesota from October to May, that's pretty much accurate weather forecasting right there. Actually, in my house, we didn't have a television until I turned 16 and my grandfather came to live with us. He was in the later stages of esophageal cancer. And so he came in and he brought the first television into our home. And my father was an absolute fan of the TV show MASH. He loved it. Now, my dad served in Korea for a year. It wasn't during the conflict at all, but I think he identified a lot with some of the stuff he saw and the ideas of Korea. So every time CBS, who then owned the rights to do the reruns of MASH, came on, my dad's sitting there right in front of the television, and I was sitting there next to him. So we fell in love with the television show MASH. Now, I also grew up in a Catholic home. And growing up in a Catholic home, we tried to understand how to make sure that we got everything done appropriately, properly. We had all the right boxes checked. We walked through the right steps to express our faith. And so you can understand that as I'm watching the TV show MASH, the character that I in particular really identified with was Father Mulcahy. Father Mulcahy was a Catholic priest who was dumped into... he was a Catholic priest who, as you watched the show, you learned he took his faith and his expression of faith and his fidelity to his faith very seriously. And he was, that seriousness and that fidelity was dumped into probably the worst soil you could ever dump that kind of thing into, a MASH unit, where, first and foremost, you're in the middle of a war. These guys were charged with trying to put kids back together only so they could go back up to the front lines and get shot up again. It was a haven for debauchery, gambling, drunkenness, womanizing, just about everything that would have been against this guy's expression of his faith. And yet he understood that he was called to these people to serve them, to live them, to live with them, to minister who God was to them. And so for 11 seasons, this show, and I'm sure it was one of the lower storylines that they were trying to develop, but for me as a Catholic, it was fascinating to watch the development of his character and watch how through different episodes, he walked the line between trying to live faith as he should, but yet engage a culture that wasn't going to live the faith with him, but he was engaged to reach out to. So, this story finds us into season 10, and a particular episode comes along where Father Mulcahy finds out that Cardinal Reardon is coming to observe the 4077 Mass. Now, if you're not familiar with Catholic speak, Pope, heap big guy. Cardinal, just under heap big guy. This was an important fella coming to visit the 4077 Mass. And so Father Mulcahy wanted desperately for the 4077 to look good, to look like what he wanted his faith to be expressed like. So he goes around and he says, guys, well, the cardinal's here, no drinking. Guys, well, the cardinal's here, no gambling. Guys, well, the cardinals are here, you will respect women and none of that other stuff that you guys are typically doing. Well, you know what happens. Every time the cardinal is with Father Mulcahy, they come around the corner and there's the crap game, or there's this and there's that, and it's just all falling apart around him, and wanting to show the cardinal that he's doing a good job with these people is in danger. Now, running alongside this story is another story where two characters have walked in off the line. The one guy is really shot up bad, and his buddy has carried him in off his line. Interestingly enough, the buddy was played by Patrick Swayze. Now, they get the guy in, get him on the operating table, and they find out that he's going to need a blood transfusion. And so Patrick Swayze's character offers and says, I would love to give a blood transfusion for him. We're a match. We're donors. We're together. Take my blood. Use it. Okay. They say, fine. They take a sample of the blood out to be tested, and they find out that this character has leukemia and can't donate his blood to his buddy. But, and this is where Father Mulcahy enters the story again. They're trying to encourage this guy to get to Tokyo, to get to into Seoul, maybe even back to the States, to get in with all of the latest and greatest attempts at curing leukemia. Get yourself in a treatment plan. Maybe there's hope. Maybe there's this. Maybe there's that. And this guy looks him right in the eye and says, look, I don't have much of a shot here. But what I can do is I can choose how I want to live out my life with the days that I have left. And he says, I want to stay here with my buddy because my buddy needs me. And Father Mulcahy stays with these two during the course of a very long Saturday night and into Sunday morning, when all of a sudden he realizes, uh-oh, that worship service I was supposed to lead over in the mess hall in honor of the cardinal is about to start in 2 minutes. And we're going to pick up the action there. So what does it look like to live the vibrant faith? I didn't want you to miss that last line that he said there, and I asked Laura to put it up on the screen for us here. He said, God created us so that he, God, could be here himself, so that he could exist in the lives of those he created in his image. The Bible talks about this in a couple of different ways. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, it says this, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he, that I am God." If we go ahead to Acts chapter 1, when Jesus, verse 12 of Isaiah says this again. Go ahead back one more, Laura. I forgot I had this one in here. Verse 12, same chapter, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is standing with his disciples just before he's taken up into heaven. And what does he tell them? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you want to live a vibrant life, if you want to live with vibrant faith, the first thing you have to understand is that your vibrant faith calls you to be a witness. When you identify yourself as a Christian, you are identifying yourself as a witness. The second thing that vibrant faith calls us to is to witness not just to God or to the spiritual. Our culture is very willing to engage us and say, yeah, God is great in a theoretical conversation, or everybody has a spiritual side to them. But the difference that we're called to is when we bear that witness is made in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you look at the book of Acts that we just got done looking at, what happened when Jesus Christ's name was bore witness to? Sometimes people accepted and believed and had faith and followed and became part of that growing new church. Other people didn't believe. In fact, that unbelief oftentimes turned violent. People were banished from towns. People were thrown in jail. Peter, Paul, Silas, just to name a few, all found themselves in jail, imprisoned for their faith. Stephen lost his life because he bore witness to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, we aren't going to see that type of persecution living where we are yet. But what kind of persecution are we going to see if we bear faithfulness to the name of Jesus Christ? Might you be passed over for a promotion at your job? Might you lose money at your job because of that? Might you not be able to hang out with the cool kids at school because they don't want to have anything to do with that Jesus freak over there? Might you not be able to attain certain social standings in social circles? And what is the third aspect of the vibrant life that we live together? Is simply that last statement, that we are to live the vibrant faith out in the culture. I think we can get in trouble if we take the name of this room a little bit too seriously. You remember the character of Father Mulcahy, who tried to order life and make life appear in just such a way and check all the boxes and make life safe. Well, sometimes I think we try to do that in church at the exclusion of the culture around us. We think that sanctuary is safe. And if I can surround myself with enough people who think like me and act like me and behave like me, I can be safe. And at the end of the day, I'll stand before God and he'll say, good job, you kept yourself clean. Maybe that was the Old Testament, God's people set apart, but Jesus Christ came and he dumped that on his head, on its head. Now the church exists in every person, and God's presence on this earth comes through every person that's here. God is in you, and God in you is what engages our world with the knowledge and the love of him. You are a witness. Bear witness to Jesus Christ, and do so from the midst of the culture. So we got to get going here. But on our way out, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a minute to just sit in silence. And I want you to let the Spirit search your heart. And odds are he's going to bring a name to mind, or maybe a place to mind, a place where you live, where you are the light of the world to that part of the world. I want you to pray for that part of the world, but I also then want you to pray for yourself, that God, through his Holy Spirit, would give you the words to say, the actions to do, maybe it's the things not to say, that you could be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ where he has planted you, in your neighborhoods, in your families, in your schools, across the street. The time is yours. Let's pray, and I'll close it up at the end. Father God, we thank you and we praise you that we can gather in this place, followers of Jesus Christ, forgiven and free from our sin and from our brokenness. And Lord, I thank you that the wisdom of God is to reveal yourself through fallen and broken people like us to the world around us. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave this place today to go into your world that you created and that you love, that we would see those moments where we are to bear witness to Jesus Christ. We pray that you would soften our hearts and open our spiritual attentions to the leading of your Spirit, that we could stand in line with you and show your love to a world around us and around here that's so desperately needs you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Would you stand? And as you leave from this place, go in the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to a world that so desperately needs you. Bring Jesus to the world and do so for his glory. Amen. Would you greet those around you with the peace of Christ? It's been great to have you with us this morning.